We light the candle of hope to show us the way forward. We open the Bible, word of wisdom, passed down to us. We pour the water of our baptism, the water of life. We light the peace candle. It is lit in solidarity with all who are oppressed and all who cry out for help. The ancient days breathed life into this land and her peoples. From time beyond our reckoning, the Kaurna people have blessed this place through their law and customs, their care and concern. We pay our respects to their elders and leaders, past and present, and pray for the future of their communities. May we walk gently and respectfully on this land. Good morning. I extend a warm welcome on behalf of the worship team here today to everybody who is attending here today and all those who may be viewing the service at home or at another time. We pass our blessings on to you all. We will be holding communion shortly, and we invite those who are watching online and you may wish to participate in the meantime to prepare your bread and juice or wine, whatever you may choose to use. You'd be most welcome to join us. And also you would have received your news sheet either via email, delivered, or there are copies in the foyer today. Please take note, because as you know, we're a very busy community here, and we'll keep you up to date and inform you. Also, I invite you, of course, after the service to come into the hall adjacent for a cup of tea or coffee and a chance to catch up and chat and find out what's been going on in the previous week. Let us worship. From the shores of our lives, Jesus calls us into celebration of worship. Let us worship God. From the edge of our worries and concerns, Jesus calls us into hope. Let us claim the hope. From the shallow places in our hearts, Jesus calls us into the depths of his love.
Let us celebrate the gift of his love.
From the breaking waves of sadness in our lives, Jesus calls us into joy.
Let us renew our spirits in his joy.
From the rising tides of our conflicts, Jesus calls us into the shores of peace.
Let us rest in his peace.
Let us celebrate the love of God and receive the blessings of Jesus Christ.
Let us worship God.
Let us pray. God, who meets us on the beach, on the road, in stunning visions and everyday moments, in this time of worship, may we meet you again and find ourselves forgiven and be sent out, re-energized by your Spirit to tend to your sheep. Amen. And I invite you to remain seated, and we will sing TIS 007, Jesus Calls Us Here to Meet Him.
Jesus
praise the God who keeps his promise. Praise the Son who calls us friend. Praise the Spirit now among us to our hope fears attends. Jesus calls us to confess him, word of life and Lord of all, sharer of our fresh and frailness.
Tell his heart.
We bring our prayer of prayers, thanksgiving, confession, and forgiveness. Please join in. Sing praises to God, you who are saved by grace. Give thanks to God's holy name.
God's rebuke lasts but a brief moment, but divine grace extends for a lifetime.
Weeping may go on in the night, but joy returns with the sunrise.
When everything was going well, I boasted, I am surely set up for life. It must be a favorite of God, immovable as a mountain.
So you hid your face from me, and I was dumbfounded. I cried out and pleaded with you, God. I made my complaints heard.
What gain is there in my death if I am lowered into the grave? Can a body return to dust
to serve you?
Would I be any good to you then?
Please hear me and give me another chance. Only you, God, can get me out of this.
Now you have turned my sorrow into dancing. Cast off the hair shirt and clothe me with joy. I shall never again take you for granted.
God, my true love, I will thank you forever. Amen.
Simon Peter, hothead, reacting, overreacting, never truly listening, but always passionate, not one to shrink. Until that awful day, those denials, that cock crow, piercing your soul. His remembered grace, drawing in your tears, how crushed you were. Then, when he returned, did you imagine that he would have a word for you? Fearing his rejection, startled by his command, feed my sheep, repeated 3 times. Cancelling out your denials, freeing you to become the rock of the church, his body, releasing your passion for his word, his people. Where would we be without you, Simon Peter?
And now they were not able to fall in because there were so many fish.
Today, we will continue with the Easter stories of resurrection, the resurrection experiences. First, we had the women going to the tomb with Mary, who saw Jesus, and then they found the tomb empty and Mary saw Jesus. Later, Jesus appeared to his disciples and Thomas wasn't there, but another time, Thomas was there. We heard that story last week. And now this week, we hear that Jesus appeared to them again. And we focus on Peter. Some of the disciples, including Peter, are out fishing. Jesus tells them to go to the shore, but they don't realize at first who it is. Jesus calls to them from the shore. Today's story is a story of restoration and commissioning. The frightened group of men and women that we call the disciples were nervous and bewildered. They had gone through the horror of watching Jesus die in gut-wrenching agony. And afterwards, they'd run through the whole gamut of emotions. There'd been shock, hurt, grief, and anger at his death. It had shattered their world. They hadn't understood when he'd warned them about his coming death. And they had a sense of guilt, too. They'd run away, abandoning him to face his death all alone, leaving him when he needed them most. He had died. That they knew. But people were reporting that they had experienced Jesus in a new way, a different way. It all seemed unbelievable. The disciples are confused. They've lost their sense of purpose. They have no idea what to do next. Peter decides to go fishing, so he goes with some of his friends out onto the lake. That was something they knew, something they felt safe about, and it gave them something to occupy their minds. In the face of pain and tragedy, sometimes it's good to return to the familiar. Peter needs time to rethink, to gather himself together. I suspect that it was also a time for soul searching. Peter, like the other disciples, had left home 3 years earlier with great anticipation. This new prophet was worth giving up regular jobs for, and there'd been plenty to do, sometimes dangerous things, and events had made the adrenaline flow. Now it was all gone. Now Peter was redundant. And with that realization came all the feelings of letdown, uselessness, the future a worry. So what better place than a fishing boat for a fisherman? What better time than the haunting calmness of the night? Peter needs this night because what is about to happen in the morning will shock him. He will hear his future foretold. And of course, later in the epistles, we hear how Peter was crucified like Jesus, but upside down. And so he will hear this future foretold, and he will be challenged to defend his ultimate loyalties. Imagine Peter in the boat with the other disciples, listening to the water, the small waves lapping, slapping against the wooden hull, the boat creaking with every movement, the shuffle of feet as his companions stretch and change position. He sits quietly. The conversation was exhausted hours ago. Sounds are muted by the early morning mist, and he can see little. It seems just the world is an insubstantial grey. It isn't a positive morning. He's been up all night. The fishing has been poor. And underlying it all, his lack of purpose. With Jesus, life had been so full. Peter is off balance, still reeling from all the events packed into the last few days. The future isn't clear. What will he do? Will he go and take up the threads of ordinary life and full-time fishing? Or should he wait and see? It was a dark night for him out on the water, and the enveloping mist must have emphasized his sense of isolation. At this low point, the empty nets mirror his empty life. Jesus is there on the shore, but Peter doesn't know that and can't see him sharing the dark hours with him. Jesus waiting to welcome, to warm, and feed them all around the fire, ready to point Peter in a new direction. Slowly, imperceptibly at first, the mist begins to thin out. The shoreline is insubstantial. And then on the shore, Peter sees the outline of a figure. A voice calls, asks about the fishing, tells them to throw the net out once more on the other side. And suddenly he's engulfed in a great burst of activity, fish splashing, water everywhere. The net is so full and heavy that they can't lift it in. And the disciples don't know how to react. There's a suppressed excitement. Then someone says, "It's the Lord." The tension is broken by Peter splashing ashore in his eagerness. He leaves the boat, his boat, all else forgotten, and he staggers up the beach. Jesus is there with a fire made, fish cooking, bread baking, making welcome, making breakfast for his friends. Facing a crisis on an empty stomach, particularly if you've been up all night, isn't easy. But it seems that Jesus understands human nature. So before he asks Peter to confront the issue of his failure, he makes sure that Peter is comfortable and isn't hungry. And so here is a thoughtfulness that we should heed when we are dealing with those who have failed us. Choose the moment of our confrontation very carefully and with great sensitivity. Jesus is there on the beach that morning to ask each of the disciples one last time if they will make a place for him, if they will make a place for life and make a commitment that is so reliable, so persistent, so faithful that everyone they meet will find life. What he calls all his disciples to do, his followers, both then and now, is to feed and to tend every human being and all creation until everything experiences resurrection life. So a little sidetrack. Why count the sheep? Maybe this is symbolic, showing us that it's easy to get sidetracked by counting our successes. We can get tempted down blind alleys that are not important when we should be concentrating on essentials. We need to use our time and energies on things that make a difference. In reading this story again this week, it seems to me that the net is the important thing, rather than the number of fish. The net wasn't torn. Maybe the net is a metaphor for the kingdom of God, that it's strong enough and wide enough for all who are ready to commit themselves to living within it. There was room enough for Peter, in spite of his early denials. Room for the disciples, even though they'd run away. There's room in it today for you and me, and even for those with whom we disagree. And however much strain is put on the net stays whole. Moving on. I don't know why these close friends of Jesus didn't recognize him straight away. I don't understand what made him different after the resurrection. I don't know what these disciples saw on the beach that morning that made them recognize him. But it seems to me that Jesus shows himself in whatever ways he wants. Not capriciously, but in ways that startle us, puzzle us, surprise us out of our easy assumptions. Ways that widen our awareness. And I did have two or three examples of my own experience, and I'm not going to put them in because my voice is not too good this morning. It's better than it's been for 2 weeks, praise God. Anyway, back to Peter. Because the second part of the story is particularly about Peter. I imagine Peter being awash with conflicting emotions. Beneath his joy at Jesus' presence, the memory of his denial still lurks. Guilt may be washed through him like the water in the bottom of the boat. Maybe sick feelings in his stomach every time he heard a cock crow. Jesus asks him, "Do you love me more than these?" More than what? More than who? Do you love me more than your friends here? Do you love me more than your past life of fishing? It's not really clear exactly what Jesus was asking or talking about, but there could only be one answer. Loving Jesus comes first, and love changes things. Jesus had already forgiven Peter. The end of the story proves that. The only way forward was to recognize and face the core of the problem, which was Peter's relationship with Jesus. And Jesus' question confronted that. Maybe it hurt Peter. But growth often comes through hurt. Jesus was helping Peter search every corner of his life and renew his commitment without reserve, offering him a chance to build something new and positive from it. Feed my sheep is the gift of new responsibility. Christian commitment isn't to a nebulous theory or a doctrine, but a call to a practical life of service. We show our commitment and our love by the way we live. Jesus was part of the real world, and he calls us to be to be involved. The metaphor of feeding lambs and tending sheep asks that we walk bravely into the world with resurrection love and hope. And it demands that we leap out of our familiar boats into waters over our head. It asks us to engage in sacramental meals on beaches and shorelines, in dark alleyways and hospital rooms, in desperate, lonely places where people are lost and afraid. The compelling call of human need takes Jesus' disciples into places where they and we do not want to go. Our ability and willingness to go there is a testimony to the passion and clarity of our Christian discipleship, and it's good for me to be reminded of that too. I want to finish with a reflection from Peter, from his perspective, and it was written by Carol Dixon, and it's called At the Lakeside. It was the lad, John, who saw him first. We were too busy hanging on to the bulging net, and maybe just a bit resentful of a stranger on the shore telling us our business. It's him, he said. Who, I asked, straightening up. It's the Lord, who else? He replied with a grin too wide for his face. I shaded my eyes against the low dawn light and stared, and my heart froze and then leapt within my chest. I grabbed my garments and plunged over the side of the boat, sinking to my waist in the waves, as I had once before when he'd called me to him across the water. Struggling up the beach, I fell in a heap at his feet, and he grabbed my hands, as he had that other time, and hauled me up until we were eye to eye. The others arrived, bustling up the beach, bringing fish to lay on the fire beside the loaves already baking there. Come and eat, he said, as he broke the bread and shared the feast. Afterwards, when everyone was sated and settled, he looked at me across the fire. Walk with me, he said, and we set off along the shoreline. Simon, do you love me more than these? He asked, indicating the others sprawled out on the sand. Yes, Lord, I answered automatically. You know I love you. Feed my flock. A little further on again, he asked me, Simon, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. You know I love you. And then he asked me a third time, Simon, do you love me? He gazed into my tear-filled eyes, and we were back in the courtyard, beside another fire. Lord, you know everything, I cried. You know I love you. Lead my sheep, he said, and smiled. And the sun rose high in the sky, and the sea shimmered, and the world was wonderful. I looked back and saw the lad was following. What about him, Lord? I asked. He turned, regarding John with that look of love reserved for children and for all pure-hearted people. Not your concern, he chided gently. You follow me. And I did, to the end. So now we're going to join together in singing the song, We Are an Easter People. Ours is an Easter faith.
We dedicate our offerings. As we offer our gifts to you, Lord, may we remember those who are forgotten by us all too frequently, the hungry, the lonely, the hopeless, and the vulnerable. We recognize that the greatest gift of all is the gift of love. May our offerings help bring this love to the world, the small world we share with the suffering people we know, the larger world where the power of love is sorely needed. Amen. And to bring our prayers for the people. God of wonder and mystery, God of the stars and the universe, we bring to you today the things that are on our hearts. We pray for the needs of our world, broken by division and suspicion, by hatred and the desire for power. Last Monday, Anzac Day, we remembered the men and women of our country who served and died in the terrible theatre of war. Today, we bring to you the people of Ukraine, Afghanistan, and all the countries who are even now facing the destruction and horrors of war. We pray that death, suffering, hunger, physical and emotional pain can come to an end. We pray for wisdom for world leaders who seek to uphold the rights of all people to a fair and just world. Gracious and loving God, you have reconciled us in Jesus Christ, restored us to relationship with you and with each other and with ourselves. You always offer us another chance and the opportunity for new beginnings. You call us to show love and grace to others, and this is not always easy. We pray for reconciliation and renewal in our own lives and in our world. We pray for a spirit of generosity and inclusivity that we each might find and offer welcome. We pray that we might show love and grace to each other. Amen.
This is the table of the crucified and risen Christ. It is made ready for those who are drawn by the Holy Spirit into the love of God. So come, those who have much faith and those who have little, those who have been here often and those who have not been to this table for a long time, those who have tried to follow and those who may feel discouraged. Come, for it is the Holy Spirit who gathers the church, the body of Christ, and welcomes us to this place, this space of grace and healing. So let's join together, still seated, in singing, "Let us break bread together with the Lord."
Let us break bread together with the Lord. Let us break bread together with the Lord. As we travel through this land, all God's children hand in hand, Lord, fill all our living with your life. Let us drink wine together with the Lord. Let us drink wine with the Lord. As we travel through this land, oh God's children, hand in hand, Lord, fill all our living with your life. Let us sing songs together with the Lord. Let us sing songs together with the Lord. As we travel through this land, all God's children hand in hand, Lord, fill all our living with your life. Let us all work together for the Lord. Let us all work together. As we travel through this land, all God's children hand in hand, Lord, fill all our living with your life.
We give thanks for Jesus of Nazareth, who loved so greatly and taught so clearly and courageously, that he was able to set people free from images, ideas, and religious practices that bound them in fear and separation from the spirit of all life. Through him, we learn how our loving is a sharing in this life-giving spirit. In him, the spirit of life challenges all of us to make its presence on earth more visible. We remember the night before he died, when Jesus took bread, gave thanks for everything, broke the bread, and shared it with his disciples, asking them to remember his total surrender to the spirit of life and love, and his enduring love for each of them. We take this bread and eat it, mindful of the Spirit at work in our lives, in the ordinary, in the everyday, and in our desire to love as generously as Jesus loved. Likewise, knowing that his life was to be poured out, he shared the cup of wine with his friends. We drink it, mindful of our bonding with Jesus and with all people through the Spirit at work in our lives. Today we continue in this place what Jesus began at the Passover feast, and we offer our sacrifice of thanks and praise. Pour out the Holy Spirit on us and upon these gifts of bread and wine, that as we receive these elements, we are nourished by the presence of Christ in our lives. The bread is broken, the bread of life. The cup is poured, the cup of peace. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. So I invite those who are helping to come up, and we'll receive the elements first, and then we'll be distributing to you in your seats. Now you're going to do that for everybody, aren't you? The bread of life. Bev, the bread of life. Jenny, the bread of life. Craig, the bread of life. Carol, the bread of life. Christine, the bread of life. Cup of peace. Beth, the cup of peace. Jenny, the cup of peace. Craig, the cup of peace. Carol, the cup of peace.
Christine, the cup of peace.
Peter, the bread of life. Pauline, the bread of life. There you got it. Colin, the bread of life. Oh. Margaret, the bread of life. Rob, the bread of life.
The cup of peace for you.
Mary,
the cup
bread
of peace
life.
For you.
Peter,
the cup of peace
life.
For you, Colin. They've all got
Faye, the bread of life. Margaret, the bread of life. Friend,
cup
the bread of life.
Cup of peace for you, Margaret. Cup of peace for you, Rob.
Pam, the bread of life.
Cup of peace for you, Mary. cup of peace for you, Peter.
Bread of life.
Cup of peace for you, Margaret. Cup of peace
the bread
for you,
of life.
Margaret, the bread of life.
A cup of peace for you. A cup of peace for you. A cup of peace for you.
It's onto our mask.
Cup of peace for you. Yes, yeah, I've got that. Cup of peace for you. Cup of peace for you, Keith.
Thank you. Thank you. You put that one there. I'll take that one. Thank you.
So I invite you to join in our post-communion prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, you have put your life in our hands. Now we put our lives in yours. Inspire, encourage, and renew us. Irrespective of what we have been, it is what with you we can be, starting from now. For you live and reign with God in the power of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. And so we come to our last song for this morning. I danced in the morning when the world was begun.
Bethlehem, my head, my earth, dancing.
me. Christ asks if we love him. If we say yes, he says, then care for one another. This is our opportunity to make a difference, to live lovingly on the frontiers of his bright new world.
But we can give it a go, relying on his abundant wisdom to take our small love and fit it into a larger pattern of good for all creation.
May God bless the world in which you move, and bless your home, and bless your friends. May God bless the eyes with which you see, and bless the ears with which you listen. May God bless the way you use your hands and the way you employ your tongues. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm just asked if you would just stay seated for a moment.